And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders, episode 339. Back from a quick hiatus, I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself, the Mug.
He trusts me, the fool. I mean, hi.
Well, maybe the untrusty.
If he was drinking, we could call him the Frothy One.
Yeah. I am drinking, so yes, you can. Although bourbon is not typically frothy. Because you're doing something very, very, very wrong.
It can be. Hey, look, we got a lively chat room this week. We got Freak 5 is in there, Gripper's in there, of course, our good friend Dungeon, Buster,
and our MXT. Lethal Enemy MXT.
Yes, our Lethal Enemy MXT happens to be in there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. When the hell did he get upgraded to lethal?
I know.
I thought it was annoying.
Well, to be fair, he did shoot up that school.
Still, I think he's only at the level of annoying.
Yeah.
Well, not lethal.
Right. Not quite. You haven't earned the...
He's lethally annoying.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric. MXT,
he's lethally annoying. Anyway.
You're so dumb, Mark. All right, guys, let's get started. Eric, let's quickly get through this. We got a ton of news this week.
This one's kind of old, so I'm just going to mention it. RPG Maker 2003 is now on Steam. The article comes from Lewd Gamer, of all things, but oh well.
Yeah. You said something. There's an age gate on RPG Maker. Why? I wonder why the fuck.
Not RPG Maker.
It's just an age gate on the site itself. The actual article is completely work safe.
All right. I was just wondering. I was like, what the fuck is adults only about that?
It's just because it's an adult-oriented gaming site.
Yeah. All right.
I need to add Lewd Gamer to my bookmarks. Yeah. I didn't know there was...
You're kind of breaking up, break. All right.
Actually, you know what? We should make a site called Rule 34 Gaming.
All right, Eric.
I don't know what that means.
What's I already Rule have 34? My own WordPress
okay.
I'm working on.
Hang on. We need to make a quick aside here. Yeah. Rule 34 is basically the rule that on the internet, if it exists, there's a porn version of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's another code for 34 as well, but...
I think that's a true statement.
It's not quite the porn corollary. It's more like if you can think about it, it's probably existing out somewhere on the internet.
Yeah. Mm. All right, Eric, do the next one since that one was really super quick.
Okay, this one's from Crunchyroll.com. It's about the Otome visual novel Code Realize hits PS Vita in the West this fall.
You mispronounced that.
Code Realize. Ash just announced a new Otome visual novel game via Sony's PlayStation blog. Realize. Okay, what do I do for tildes?
Tildes? I think we can go...
I don't think I can snort that loud.
You don't have to do it loud, just snort.
There. Guardian of Rebirth. See, you have to do it twice. This is two tildes.
Oh, great.
Oh, man. This is retarded.
Anyways, comes from
Hey, boy, you sure got a pretty mouth. Squeal now. Anyway.
This is Deliverance now.
Yes.
Anyways, be released on PS Vita, and it'll be available through retail and digital. And Europe's only getting digital because apparently Axis can't publish things in Europe.
Dungeon Buster says, every time I hear Rule 34, I think 34th Rule of Acquisition, war is good for business.
I told him that's because he...
I didn't know Idea Factory's alternate name was Design Factory.
All right, I think we're good on that story, right, Aaron?
All right, I'll take the next one.
Anything else to mention? Cheaper.
And this one comes to us from Destructoid. Brazilian-developed Torin is in the... It's coming in May. I misread that. Is in the way. For PC and PS4, despite having a dragon in most of its promotion work, Torin has kind of flown in under the radar. From the Brazilian team Sword Tales, you'll play as Moonchild on a quest to climb to the top of Torin, a large and looming tower. The game boasts puzzles as well as action sequences. Evidently, as the story progresses, you'll change from an infant to a woman, boasting a narrative that grows alongside of your avatar. It's a tall order, but you'll be able to check out the reviews and impressions for yourself on May 12th.
So Dragon Quest and Zelda. Dragon Quest V and Zelda.
I will say that the artwork that they've got on this looks gorgeous. Mm. So, I mean, if the game looks even, you know, has even a bit of that visual styling to it, it should look really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to say to that.
I have to go to the website.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the actual article, that, yeah, the guy says, I'm getting eco chills from this. And, hey, that you know, that could be good.
It's coming out next week, actually. That's what it says here, May 12th.
Yeah, May 12th. Well,
what's an eco chill? Ico. Yeah, I see.
Yeah. Like the, you know, for some, eco. It is pronounced eco, not Ico.
So that's why I was confused. Like, I was like, what's eco?
I just hope it plays well.
For some reason,
Ico. You're saying it's Ico, not Ico?
It is Ico.
Okay, Ico.
For some reason, MXT is singing the Hulk Hogan theme in chat.
I am a real American.
Yeah.
Fight for the rights of everyone.
Mug?
Yes,
Mug,
anyway.
I don't want to hang up on you.
Then don't do it.
You're forcing my hand, sir.
You don't want to, but then you do it.
Yeah. Hey. I am not forcing you to click that button.
You know what the most important thing about that story is, guys?
That you're a bully?
No. Is
That gets my vote.
It's the fact that there's actually a Brazilian publisher or developer.
Yeah, I do think that is cool, though. I mean, it's like, wasn't there something where there was like a publisher from Argentina or something like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That, you know what? There's actually quite a few in Argentina.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. I mean, it's kind of neat because we're so used to seeing games that are steeped in the culture of either America, you know, or at least like, you know, traditional, like the traditional concept of Western culture or Japanese culture. I think it would be really, you know, there's that reminds me, you know, there's that Never Alone, it's that platformer, which is like based on I think it's Inuit culture, mm-hmm. some variant of like Eskimo culture, which is like, you know, the voiceover is actually in the native language of this particular people, and it's like, it's, you know, it's really interesting.
Yeah, Freak5 says Frank is God. I totally agree with that. So.
Frank has an ego.
Frank, and just like God, Frank has delusions of grandeur.
No, that's absolutely
And an irrationally
true.
Quick temper. That's, oh, I made a mistake. Let's wipe everything out.
That's absolutely not true. Speaking of, let's go to the next slide. Break, what's going on, Break? You all right? You getting in trouble? Oh, this is good, guys. I think Brake's getting in trouble.
Don't tell me he has squirrel problems.
We already had enough rodent problems.
Right.
Actually, maybe it's a rabbit this time. It's not rodent problems. It's legomorph problems.
All right. Let's move on to the next story from, I believe, Silicon Era. I don't even know what the hell this story
Cyrilim.
Is.
Cyrilim.
Cyrilim is a new monster taming RPG that lets you build a kingdom.
Simsalabim. Simsalabim. Anyway.
I don't have the story, like, at all. I don't know what's going on
it's
here.
It's not loading.
Nope,
I'll
not loading.
If it's monster taming that you want, then Cyrilim should supply you with hours of just that. It's a new RPG with roguelike elements that takes a deep dive into the world of capturing creatures, taming them, training them, and then having them battle for you. So in other words, it's slavery.
Cheap Pokemon.
Cyrilim gives you a castle to rule over and protect. Protected how? By employing an army of monsters, of course. Oh, and recovering treasure, so you can construct facilities, as well as recruit NPCs, all of which will help to unlock more monster types for you to go out and find. So you play the game so you can play more of the game. That's the core of the game. Heading outside of your castle into the wider world of your kingdom, you'll find over 300 types of monsters with more to come, each with their own unique abilities, each with its own unique abilities, you assholes, to capture and battle in turns, hyphen-based combat. Of all those, you'll have to decide on only six to have in your team, enhancing their abilities with the with the equipment and augments you craft. There are over 500 crafting items. And by using the spells that you learn to tip the balance, it's also possible to create eggs that will hatch a monster that you then raise from birth to be the fighter you want it to be, rather than trying to capture wild creatures, because raising animals in captivity is so much better than capturing animals in the wild.
Dungeon Buster says, yay, monster armies.
Yeah. So this is like trying to be like Shin Megami Tensei or something?
I'm guessing. Now, as to those roguelike elements, you can attribute those to the game's procedurally generated dungeons.
Oh, boy.
There are 8 biomes to unlock altogether, and the dungeons – most people don't even know what a fucking biome is.
You know,
and the dungeons will take from these and alter the layout to be completely different each time. It also has a roguelike overworld, meaning that you can see monsters on the map and avoid them or try to run from them, but they may still chase you and catch up to you. The game also has no level cap, so you can keep playing forever, theoretically.
You know, this is a trend that's been going on for a while in games about randomly generated dungeons. Who cares? Like, honestly, like, why?
Nobody designs games anymore, huh?
Yeah, it's just stupid. Like
I remember the first procedurally generated game I ever played was Dark Cloud, and I fucking hated it.
Mm-hmm. I like Dark Cloud.
I don't mind
but
Dark Cloud.
Dark Cloud was not nearly as good as its sequel.
I never played Dark Cloud 2, so I don't know.
I don't mind Dark Cloud 1 or 2, but I just think that it just... I mean,
one's more annoying because it has a thirst meter to go along with its hunger meter.
Yeah. Not just that, though. It's just I found that it's like...
And
okay.
If your weapon's HP goes to zero, it breaks. It doesn't just become unusable until you repair it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, with the original Dark Cloud, it's, you know, the levels all... I mean, literally, it's all you're just in one, you know, in a big cave... And it's like, yes, the layout was done separately, but there was no variation in the, like, you know, you go through one cave and one block of the cave looks the same as every other block. It just depends on where the walls are. You know, it's just, just visually boring. And I was like, and I was hoping for, like, something, you know, it kind of was hyped up to be kind of this Zelda-style game, and it did
it's
not.
It's all right. I like 1 and 2. They're okay games. Here's something that should be a lot better visually, Moria. So this is from Silicon Air. Marvel Future Fight RPG is out, and here's how it plays. As previously reported, Marvel and South Korean developer Netmarble have collaborated, not collaborate, Silicon Air, to produce Marvel Future Fight, an action RPG for iOS and Android. This game is available for download today. It has a story written by Peter David, who's actually really good, including PvE and PvP. So I'm trying to... stories, it seems to be okay, I guess. I don't know. It includes characters...
Is that a writer for the comics or something? Or
yeah, he writes for comics. Includes characters such as the Avengers, Spider-Man, Daredevil, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ghost Rider, and more. It's available as free download, and for the first week, an event will allow players to unlock a special Iron Man armor for free. So,
well,
there you go.
That's already passed.
Well. Yeah. But, well, I mean, I haven't played this, but it looks kind of cool. I might give it.
Visually, it doesn't look bad for a mobile game.
The trailer was pretty interesting. It had pretty good CG for it being an Android game.
FreakPie says he loved Dark Cloud. The kids broke the PS2 and never replaced it. So yeah, I didn't mind Dark Cloud 1 and 2. All right, Break, can you read the next story, please? Is Break back? How about you, Eric?
I'm here.
Go for it.
Okay. Terra Battle reaches 2 million downloads. It says console version development, but apparently there was an update, and they still don't know the status of the development of that is. So I guess they're going to do it. They just don't know how they're going to approach it yet.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, 2 million. They did promise that they'd do it in their Kickstarter campaign. Like, if they got that many downloads, they'd make it for consoles. So I guess... all they need to do is figure out what console they want to put on.
Yeah.
But anyways, it says there's a special in-game event running from April 30th to May 5th. Oh, already over. Never mind. That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Oh, well.
Dungeon Buster says he wished somebody would bring back a new X-Men Legends Ultimate Alliance action RPG. I totally agree. I love those games.
I don't think that's ever likely to happen because I'm almost positive that the removal of pretty much everything remotely Marvel related from digital storefronts like Marvel vs. Capcom and Deadpool and all that kind of shit was due to the transition from whoever used to own Marvel to Disney.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's dead in the water, man.
Like, oh, yeah, I know, but I mean, it's like for it to happen, it would require a whole new set of licensing agreements, and that's a long and involved process.
Yeah. I think only just recently Disney started letting some Star Wars games come back.
God, those games were so good, Dungeon Buster. I really like those games. Dungeon Buster should call into the show.
The last one was so broken, though. It might have really hurt the franchise, I think.
Yeah, it was a little – it didn't
Not a little. It wasn't a finished game. It was very broken. Some of the worst bugs I've ever experienced were in that game.
They were pretty bad.
Was that Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
Two. Ultimate Alliance. The second one.
Okay. I didn't ever – played
the first one was the first one I love, and the second one, like, it goes really deep into the Marvel fiction and stuff, but the game is really broken. Like, I had at one point I had a bad guy that kept shooting me, but I couldn't hurt him, and instead of like damaging me, he was healing me, and he was following me throughout the whole stage.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, he wasn't supposed to, like, this was a bad guy. I was supposed to be able to kill him, and you know, and when I hit him, I'd heal him, and he was healing me. And he just followed me through the entire state.
I had a similar bug in a game called Maximo. I don't know if you guys ever played that.
I remember that game.
I remember Maximo.
Yeah.
I liked the first one. The second one, they just tried to make it even fucking harder, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that game at all. I will say that actually, I've noticed something. I enjoy games where the challenge is in the combat. I hate games where the challenge is in the platforming.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
And they went full in with the second one as far as like in making the platforming. And like you would jump onto a platforming and there'd be enemies like that would randomly spawn while you're jumping. Come on.
Well, you might not like Ori and the Blind Forest then because there's lots of platforming in it.
Well, it's like platforming itself doesn't bother me. It's when platforming is used as the mechanism by which to make a game challenging. That gets on my nerves.
The platforming is kind of challenging.
Just for instance, like I don't know if you guys have played Guacamelee. Like I played through the game on the PS3, and it's a really good game.
Yeah.
But it's like there's an optional challenge area where you have to do all sorts of crazy.
Well,
like,
it's not entirely optional if you want the real ending.
Well, it's optional for me because I don't give enough of a shit to do it. But it's like it's some really crazy difficult. Platforming stuff in this, you know, I guess quote unquote optional area, and it's just, I don't have patience for that shit.
Yeah,
I'll just watch the ending on YouTube.
You know what I have patience for? This. Anyways, let's move
cheesy
on.
Cheesy 80s stuff. I thought for a second there, I thought it was like going to be Pac-Man Fever.
Oh boy! It
sounded kind of like that.
Speaking of that, is anybody excited to see Pixels?
No.
Adam
Sandler's name's on it. No, I quit Sandler after Little Nicky.
He's got a.
And I even hate Little Nicky. It's just he went to shit after that.
He's got a movie called The Cobbler at the Red Box that I have no desire.
I honestly think that nostalgia is the only thing that keeps me liking Billy Madison, the Waterboy, and
those are good.
I think what happened was one. With Big Daddy, he started saying like, "Hey, I can start winning awards. Like I'm a real actor and stuff like that." Like
he's a grandeur.
Like a lot of actors go through that. Like Jim Carrey did that, and
Thing is, when Adam Sandler isn't trying to be funny. He's actually not bad as a dramatic actor.
No, I agreed. Same thing with Jim Carrey. Like, I've always said for years Jim Carrey could do serious.
I really like The Truman Show.
But let's
be the only
but
one.
That was a good movie.
I was going to say, the only legitimately good Adam Sandler comedy film is The Wedding Singer.
I like The Wedding Singer. I like Billy Madison. I like Happy Gilmore. I like those old school funny – I mean – Yeah,
I guess I should say that it's like the Wedding Singer. It stands on its own as a good movie. It doesn't rely on the Adam Sandler brand of humor.
It's true. He only goes into his brand like for one.
On the other hand, we have
two scenes.
Have,
you know.
On the other hand, we have a Happy Madison Productions producing something like Paul Blart.
Yeah.
Or Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Oh God, that movie was so bad.
Did you torture yourself seeing that? That didn't even sound appealing to me.
Oh, it's so bad.
I didn't watch that.
I saw that too.
I've not seen 30 seconds of footage from that movie.
It had possibly the worst movie ending in history. It was Robert De Niro doing a song and dance number.
God, people didn't learn from having analyzed that.
It was really, really bad. I forget what it was for, but it was like a commercial, and it was just like, oh my God.
Dungeon Buster
says, I can never look at Robert De Niro in the same way.
Dungeon Buster says, I can't stand Sandler, neither could Sony from their internal emails. they can't stand a lot of people, and I bet you for – I mean
– I say that, the Native Americans aren't very happy with him right now.
Yeah, no shit.
You know, here's the thing about Sony. Like, I'm sure these conversations go on all the time, like certain actors, you know, that they don't like. But the fact that their email was hacked, I mean, you can't hold that against those people. But, man, the stuff that they were saying about – like Angelina Jolie and Adam Sandler and a bunch of
people. I actually haven't looked at any of that stuff.
Oh, God. It's pretty scathing, man.
I'm sure. Bad. But, I mean, it's like,
but we need to move
yeah,
on, guys.
Yeah, we do.
Silicon Era, Deception 4, The Nightmare Princess coming westward. This is an update coming to the West for PS3, 4, Vita. Be released in North America on July 14th, Europe on July 17th. And you can watch a trailer, which if you're listening, just look up The Nightmare Princess and you can, there you go. And then North American release date was added. That was the only new news there, guys. So let's yeah. move on from there. Break, next story, please.
Anything? Shit, I was muted, sorry. Okay. Coming to us live from, what do we call it, Frank? Silicon Raw.
Yeah.
Coming to us live from Silicon Raw, Monster Gear, Sega's hunting game, is designed to be played with one hand. I like where this is going.
This doesn't look fucking arrow gay at all.
Sega recently announced their own Monster Hunter-like smartphone game called Monster Gear. A game that is said to be hunting on the lighter side with controls to compress on one hand. Famitsu shares a look. First look at the upcoming mobile game. Why you would?
Well, you could always play this in the arcades in Japan's bathroom stalls where they have pissing games, so you can play two games at once.
Oh man, that's fucking awesome, man!
Wait, if I have a free hand, why would I piss with it? I've got other reasons. Wait a minute. Monster Gear is labeled as a hunting game, it is little more than a simpler side as far as controls go, with three basic commands of basic attack, guard, and special attack.
Just make sure you use the Western grip.
What'd you say?
Just make sure you use the Western grip.
Okay, I'm guessing this is like All the Bravest, where you can close your eyes and just, you know,
I always use
touch
the
stuff
Western
and still win.
By which I mean I'm right-handed. I say I always use the Western grip, by which I mean I'm right-handed.
I always say I'm skipping ahead. Battles are done in real time, so things such as speed and damage will have an impact, and you'll want to pick out the weapons that suit your playstyle. Yeah. Basic attacks are fundamentals of combat, as they become combos that increase in damage after multiple uses. Dun dun dun. Wait, no, that was the wrong sound effect. Sorry.
Yeah, dun 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 is for ellipses.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right, let's move on from there.
There's nothing to go with that story.
Moria.
All right, Starlight Vega coming to us live from Silicon Raw. Let me pull it up real quick. We have Sekai Project is publishing Yuri-themed visual... I still don't know what that fucking means. Yuri-themed visual novel Starlight Vega.
It means lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The announcement
what?
Of...
We're lesbians.
Braids ears pick up.
You hush. Man. The announcement of Resart Visuals... okay, that's a little awkward. Resart Visuals visual novel Starlight Vega probably couldn't have gone any better. The studio is looking for $3,550 in funding on Kickstarter and managed to smash that in a couple of days. It probably helps that visual novel publisher Sekai Project putting its name to it. Starlight Vega is a Yuri visual novel, so, yes, it focuses on romance between girls. Hell, I didn't even need Eric to answer that.
Well, technically it's girl on girl.
But anyway, it's about a girl named Aria who finds a demon girl named Lyria who has spent the last 50 years as stone in Aria's grandfather's study.
Why does it always have to be a demon? Why?
Yeah,
why Japan? Why can't it just be two women?
Because there are horns.
Why do you have to add tentacles to everything? What the fuck?
Hey. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if these are
anything about tentacles.
I don't know if
they're probably
horns.
In there.
Yeah, I don't think these are prehensile
stereotype. They must be in there.
Anyway, Aria then helps Lyria out, but
this
becomes
is a Western design game.
Hang on, let me finish. But becomes attached to her by a life stone. Understandably, having a demon in tow makes it a little more trick for Aria to go to about her daily life. Jesus
Tricky.
Christ, you people. Yeah. It's like a trick for Aria to about her daily life. These people need copy editors. From there, Arya's friend Melody tries to translate an ancient book that she hopes will dispel the power of the Life Stone and separate Arya from Lyria. Lyria, the demon, could help, but she rather likes being attached to Arya. Meanwhile, Lyria's fellow... Oh my god, this is like a fucking soap opera.
Jesus
Meanwhile,
Christ, man.
Lyria's fellow demon Cid shows up, and the two of them end up staying at Arya's home. Will Arya get caught up in her flirtatious behavior? Or wonder if she has an ulterior motive. Who's she? Will she, who, stay friends with Melody or become something more? Reads the game's description.
So Charlotte, this is made for women too, basically.
Dungeon Buster.
That's what Yuri's basically targeted.
Yeah, hang on. There's one last little bit. Starlight Vega will have 6 endings for you to discover. For now, you'll have to make do with what the demo for Windows, Mac, and Linux has to offer. You can download it at this link on Silicon Raw. And if you enjoy it, consider backing Starlight Vega on Kickstarter.
It's already fully funded now.
Yeah, and Steam Greenlight.
Dungeon Buster gets a plus one for the Game of Thrones reference. I like visual novels like this, and the fact that it has lesbians in it, that's a plus one.
Well, not necessarily lesbians. They could be bisexual, but I doubt it.
That's fine.
I'm honestly the only guy who doesn't really get anything out of lesbian porn.
You know what?
Well, this is
you're banned from the show.
This is a game that was on a Kickstarter, so I doubt that there will be any sexual content. It's just going to be a romance.
Oh, this is banned from the show too.
Yeah.
If you want sexual content, you gotta go manga gamer.
Yeah. It's like there need. It's like basically for me, I need to see a woman getting shtupped.
I don't know. I'm okay with both. It's all good in my book.
I hear that, and I think Blazing Saddles.
Stooped, yeah.
Well, that's probably because Mel Brooks is Jewish.
Hopefully we won't get stooped by this next story from Silicon Valley.
Stooped? You changed the word, man.
I don't understand where the headline gets this idea that it's Japanese-style RPG.
An unconventional Japanese-style RPG in which your only weapon is words. In the world of Last Word, the person who has the most power isn't the one with the bigger muscles or the swifter sword, but those who can get the last word in every conversation. You play.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this game, man. You play as photographer Witty Gossip.
What are you talking about getting in the last word?
Characters have punny names.
Yeah, although I think as far as I'm looking at this, like, Japanese style, okay, it looks like a 16-bit RPG, and the female character has oversized eyes, okay, Japanese style.
No, I'm thinking maybe it's the battle system.
I don't know, but it looks fucking boring. I don't even want to read the rest of this story. That's how fucking boring
your journalistic integrity is astounding.
Yeah.
Frank, I know you're thick, but
it sounds like it's a one-on-one style combat system with menu-based commands, and basically they're trying to boil the JRPG experience down to menu-driven combat.
Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
Last Word was originally conceived in June 2014 for the Indie Game Maker Contest. You can download the original entry here. It has since been developed further and consulted by to the Moon creator Con Gale for its final version due to come out on Steam May 8th. So
the involvement of Con Gale actually kind of intrigues me because To the Moon.
Okay,
so now it does sound
like a JRPG. So. Yeah.
All right, break. Next story, please, while I kill my cat.
Poor cat. Jesus. Be nice to the pussy. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Abyss Odyssey is heading to PS4 with visual upgrades, multiplayer, and new mini-bosses.
Yeah.
It did?
With contributions by James Cameron.
I'm back. What?
I said with contributions, Abyss Odyssey with contributions by James Cameron.
Exactly.
Well, apparently I skipped an article, but since I've already started, I'm going to go ahead and read this one. Atlas is publishing the PlayStation 4 version of Ace's Team side-scrolling action adventure under the name Abyss Odyssey. What's a colon? Extended Dream Edition. Atlas reckons the PS4. I need to write this shit down because I always forget. Atlas reckons the PS4 players would get the best version of the game, quote unquote. Do we have anything here, quote unquote?
We need Moria to make a cheat sheet for the sound effects.
I guess I do. I really should. I've made
Oh, yeah. I need a fapping sound for best virgin. Gross. For quote unquote. Anyways, best virgin game. But they're going to say that, however, it's a statement that isn't unfounded. After all, the extended Dream Edition gets a 1080p upgrade. Ooh.
Well, to be fair, the extended Dream Edition of The Abyss was a much better film than the theatrical release.
Freak just sent me a
never
link.
Saw The Abyss.
I saw it on videotape, so I don't watch know if that the, was extended
watch
or original.
The, yeah, watch if the ending didn't make any sense, it was the theatrical version.
I like The Abyss quite a bit.
Well, basically, it was aliens were living under the sea, and they discovered alien life, right? Yeah.
Was there anything about a storm up top, like footage of a storm, like above the sea level?
I don't remember. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
The uncut version is a much more cohesive film than
I just remember Ed Harris and aliens.
Be never backed away from anything in your life. Now fight. Anyway,
Peter's and then where he's like giving her mouth to mouth and just won't quit. Like really, that scene went on for a while, and you're like, really, he's still doing this? Oh God, he saved her! Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Anyway, where was I? It's a 1080p upgrade to new versus mode with 2-player online multiplayer and 4-player local multiplayer. Warlock reveals. I'm hoping not the Warlock movies because those were terrible. And expanded move set for enemies, combat balances, and, quote, various other gameplay additions, unquote.
You didn't like Julian Sands?
I was going to say,
Warlock?
Since you mentioned that, I have to do my extremely shitty Don LaFontaine impression.
Oh, my God.
From the trailer. He has the face of a devil and the powers of...
I just hung up on Mug. I can't take it. All right. Yeah,
there's more to the article, but I'll let this the rest of this article go to our readers in chat because I don't feel like reading it.
Let's get Mud back. Hopefully,
and Moria says, "You fucker."
What?
I don't fucker.
What?
You don't interrupt me, and when I'm in the middle of my
talking about,
Fontaine,
you hung up on the show
where both of our cars were completely underwater.
Oh my God, Mug.
Do you remember those commercials?
Yes, I remember. In a world. I could do a better impression too, Mug.
Well, like I said, my impression is extremely shitty. I did find out that I can do a pretty decent Kermit the Frog impression. I found that out just this weekend. I was like, whoa, where the hell did that come from?
Somebody was
Let me hear it.
Somebody
okay,
was,
hang on.
Oh my God.
I want to hear it. I love Kermit.
Hello, right. Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah, that was horrible.
That was pretty fucking good.
I hung up on
what the – what is wrong with you, you dick?
What?
He just looked for excuses to get rid of him. Apparently so.
That was a really good impression, and you had
– I honestly, is that good? I don't know.
That sounded like Kermit to me. I closed my eyes, and I felt like it wasn't easy being green.
Yeah, I know.
Break Man
it's
plus Mud, the love story.
Being green. Anyway.
Well, now all I need is Breakman to do a Ms. Piggy impersonation.
Hi-ya!
Oh, my
God. I don't even know. I just retweeted a picture of someone taking a picture of them being in the grocery store. They found a toothbrush with only a single brush on it. How'd they let that
like
in
a
store?
Dungeon? You mean like a – what you mean?
Oh,
like a
my little Kermie.
Why did you throw it out?
That's not bad, actually.
Oh, but Jesus. Was that Break?
Single brush.
That was Break.
That was Ms.
I just hung up on Break.
Oh, why do you do that? You're mad with power.
Why are there so many
songs
about
rainbows?
Oh my God!
And what's on the other side?
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Anyway, right, we are completely off the rails.
Dungeon Buster says the Warlock movie was funny.
Asshole, mio.
I like the Warlock. The first Warlock movie was all right. I've never seen any of them, actually.
I just remember the trailers.
Yeah, the first one was okay.
There weren't enough, like, boobs for me. I got bored watching them. That's all right. I remember.
Eric, let's do the Fire Emblem story, please.
All right, hold on a minute. Let me post this picture I found. Holy shit. All
right.
Anyways, Fire Emblem creator's new strategy RPG project will be free once completed. So Kaga Shoujo is considered the father of the Fire Emblem series as he was involved in the development of various titles in the series prior to leaving Intelligent Systems in 1999. He revealed on his official blog that he has started a new strategy RPG project, and He and a group of acquaintances have begun a new project using recently released a doujin software called SRPG Studio. And they say once it's complete, they will distribute it free of charge. They currently have 10 members and a whole smorgasbord of mostly professionals. And he's looking for a certain wonderful artist to be in charge of his character designs. Oh, gee, I wonder who that is.
Eric just posted a picture of Freak 5 Chaos's toothbrush.
That's his toothbrush? Yeah.
This would explain a lot.
With like one bristle.
Not even a bristle, it's like a group
of bristles. That's pretty hilarious. It's like, it's not actually one bristle, but it's like those little groupings of bristles. Like, yeah, there's only one that actually has any bristles in it.
Yeah. Why they left that in the store, I have no idea.
It's probably just oversight. Right. I mean, I'm pretty certain it's because it looks like this was done in like a, you know, this was like a dollar store or something like that. I'm fairly certain that those employees don't give a shit about what's, you know, what they're putting out there.
Anyways, here's some abstract about what Sozo did after he left Intelligent Systems. He made a game called Tearing Saga for the PS1, but he almost got into legal trouble with Nintendo because it looked too similar to Fire Emblem.
Hmm.
But it still eventually sold.
Yeah. Tearing Saga? That sounds familiar. Yeah.
All right. What do we got next?
I think has a fan translation now.
Break.
What? Who?
What do we got next? Cyberpunk.
Is that the story I'm reading?
Yeah.
Because I missed one at one point. Okay. Cyberpunk RPG coming to us live from Silicon Ra.
Yes.
Cyberpunk RPG. Why did I say that after you kicked me?
What?
Asshole. Cyberpunk RPG Dex is out now on PC, heading to Wii U this summer. Wow, people are still making games to Wii U.
Oh, knock it off.
2 years after being successful. it hasn't done well.
You guys there?
Seven Saga. Oh my god, I was excited for that game. Why did you do that to me?
There's actually ROM hacks out there that make the game easier and actually more playable.
I was gonna say something remotely akin to enjoyable.
Yeah,
like they touted like this store connection.
Well, to be fair, I think they actually made the North American version harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dungeon Buster says early buzz for Dex seems positive too, so that's cool, man. Hey, Dungeon Buster or Freak or Grip or any of you guys, even MXT, have any of you guys played Cyberpunk the game, the tabletop game? Because I thought it was quite fun.
I only played one.
I've seen the
brother.
Yeah. No, I've read a little bit of the original source book, like back in the 80s. But that
really
was
really fun. Really fun. Anyways, continue, Break. Sorry.
That's enough. We should move on.
Yeah,
we've been on the news for a while.
All right. I'll go on. We'll run through this real quick. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, Final Fantasy VII, Earthbound, and Kingdom Hearts 2 concert to be held in June.
Oh, cool.
While the Final Fantasy Dragon Quest and other popular series get their own concerts in Japan, the upcoming Game Symphony Japan concert sounds like it'll be an equally big event for fans of video game music. The official website shares more information on the event. The Game Symphony Japan 10th concert will feature a symphonic suite for Final Fantasy VII, which will go on for approximately 100 minutes.
Wow, that's
that is an hour and 40 minutes.
That's the entire soundtrack.
This just makes me sad.
Well, no, that's not the entire soundtrack. The entire soundtrack is 4 CDs. But anyway,
it'd be a long time. But
actually, that'd be like 400 minutes.
Yeah,
we never get this in America.
But it's probably the best of each of the 4 discs.
Okay, and let me run through this. Additionally, there will also be symphonic music for Earthbound, Kingdom Hearts 2, and Live Alive. The music will be performed by Game Symphony Japan, professional musicians who specialize in orchestrated renditions of popular video game music. They've worked with various musicians such as Nobuo Uematsu, Yoko Shimomura.
There's lots of you in there.
Yeah, I saw that. But I pronounced it anyway. Hideki Sakamoto, Noriyuki Iwadare, Hiroki Kikuta, Keiki Kobayashi, and Michiko Naruke, to name a few. The GSJ 10th concert will take place on June 7th, 2015, at the Symphony Hall in Osaka. The following is the 11th concert in Ibaraki Prefecture on June 20th, then the 12th and 13th concert on June 24th and 27th in Moscow, Russia, and back to Tokyo this October for their 14th concert performance. While the above-mentioned titles have been revealed for the 10th concert that will take place in Osaka, the following concerts will likely have different performances for other video game soundtracks. The site mentions that the Tokyo concert for this October will be a special Sega-only video game music concert.
You know, for like a Japanese symphony orchestra, going to Moscow certainly is a change of pace.
That's kind of neat. I mean,
yeah, but we never get that here.
Yeah, I know.
It just makes me sad.
For their sake,
the closest thing we've had to here is Video Games Live.
Yeah. Yeah.
It, but although,
have any
say,
of you guys been to Video Games Live?
No.
Hang on. Let me say, for the musician's sake, I hope none of them are gay when they go to Moscow.
True.
I don't think they are.
What are they going to do? Check their gay card at the door, Moria? I mean, come on.
Well, man. I mean, that's why.
No, but
going to ask them to wrestle to prove their manliness.
I know.
In a country where homophobia is promoted, you're likely to have incidents like what happened with that like college student a couple months ago or something, where he was driving down the road with friends and he saw a couple of gay guys kissing. He got out of his car to attack them.
Ugh. Frank,
is more prevalent in Russia, and it's because of the government. It's okay.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Russia has state of the art high technology gaydar.
All right. On that note,
anyway, moving on. Next story.
But anyways, I was asking about.
We need to get President Zangief to take over the premiere.
What was that, Rach?
Is that different from regular?
So, have you guys been to Video Games Live?
No, yeah, because he's not president now.
Dude,
that's how he's different.
Totally
I thought you said prison Zangief. Oh, I'm like, I don't want to know.
All right, Break, to answer your question, no, I have not, but I really wanted to go. But
I've been to one, and Tommy Tallarico, they put on a great show. It's fantastic, but at the same time, it's like
all the usual shit.
This is more the Western version. Like I want like a Final Fantasy concert.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I wish I could have, like, they didn't come to Denver, dude. I really wanted
A Final Fantasy concert would be fucking amazing.
Yeah. Maybe this will be amazing for all you Pokemon players out there. This comes to us from Silicon Era. Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire at nearly 10 million in sales. Wow, that's crazy. All right, that's the story.
A perfect example of why the argument from popularity is a logical fallacy.
Yeah.
The popularity, the continued popularity of Pokemon.
It's less than X and Y, though.
Like, I'm surprised. Like, the other day, I was at a store and there were some kids that saw some Pokemon cards. Like 5-6 kids, and they were all excited and they were talking about the Pokemon cards they wanted. And I'm just like, God, this reminds me of like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's just a juggernaut, man. It just continues.
I'm really surprised by it, but yeah. Hey, cool on them.
Let me remind you that the show is nearly 20 years old.
Yeah,
that's scary, man.
All right.
Like, I'm only 41 years old.
I don't feel old as it is, you dick. I mean, no, I'm just kidding.
All right, Eric, let's move on to other news.
Other news. We've got R&O Surge Plus limited edition coming, physical release coming from NIS America. That's right. R&O Surge Plus is coming to the US, but it's getting a limited edition. And it's going to come with the game, Surge Concerto pin badge, microfiber cloth, sticker sheet, R&O Surge Plus poster, and a collector's boss. I'm not interested at all in the slag. I just want a physical version of the game because Koei Tecmo can't be deigned to do it themselves. That the only way to get it is through the limited edition, which costs $54.99.
That is not what that word means.
What?
Dane does not mean like me. It means to decide to do.
They don't decide to do it. They just pass it off.
Yeah.
I think you skipped the story, Eric. But
yeah, you did. It's on High Strangeness.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Somebody
so else. You're not perfect either, Eric.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you want me to take?
It didn't pop up.
Yeah. Do you want me to take this one?
No, I'll take this one because you like to read everything, and I just skip to the meat of the.
I hope there's some LSD in this game.
Yeah. I hope there's some LSD in this game. This comes to us from Silicon Era. The first video game ever kickstarted is out now on PC and Wii U.
Only 12 years later.
I know. High Strangeness has had quite the development journey. It was actually the first video game to be successfully funded on Kickstarter.
That's not 12 years.
way back
on, I was being facetious.
Way back, guys.
Continue, Frank.
Yes, please. Thank you. Way back in 2009. The plan back then was to bring the game to PC and Xbox Live in 2010. That never happened. In fact, only now in 2015 has the game finally been released. It's now available on PC through Steam and the Wii U eShop. But was it worth the wait?
I want to detour.
I'm going to laugh when you say
I want to detour to look at the review. I mean, this is only one review, and numbers don't really mean anything, but it did get a 7.5, so it means it did some good.
Yeah, what break? What were you saying?
When you say, like, way back in 2009, I want to wait, and I want to laugh and stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's 6 years ago.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Didn't even talk about this 6 years ago. I don't think so. Yeah, I was not around. It started existing in 2009.
That's crazy. All right, one last story to go, Eric.
Last story. We've got level 55 Dragon Knight coming to Pokemon games via GameStop. Whoa. Yay, it's a Dragon Knight. And you have to go to GameStop to get it. Nintendo, what the fuck are you doing?
The same thing they did with DQ9, man. Fuck them.
It's called selling out, Eric.
Yeah, pretty much.
You should be familiar with it by now.
Yeah, I know. It's just Nintendo has
screw the whole concept of selling out
events that they can do. And then they have to give us a mundane Pokemon like Dragonite that's existed since the first generation, which they already did an event for years ago.
Mm. Well, whatever.
They've done several events featuring Dragonite.
What are you saying, Break?
The whole concept of selling out bullshit. It's basically we've got rich and famous. We're going to get money and we're going to make more money for the stuff we're doing.
Exact same moveset that they gave Dragon Knight when they did the – I think it might have been Heart Gold and Soul Silver. The Dragon Knight there had the exact same moveset that's on here almost.
I hear what you're saying.
Accomplishing your goals of being rich and famous is selling out.
No. There's a difference.
Like, if you want to be a big rock celebrity, we wouldn't have heard of you if you didn't basically, quote unquote, sell out.
Well, I think when people mean sell out, they mean selling out their integrity rather than actually wanting to make money.
That's the biggest thing because
I think 99.99999% of music artists don't do that.
Although I would like to say. The whole concept – I mean, like, I said it as a joke, and the entire concept of selling out, I think, was summed very well by Tool. There's a song they did called Hooker with a Penis about a guy who basically got, like, some random kid who accused him of selling out, where he said, "All you know about me is what I sold you, dumb fuck. I sold out long before you ever even heard my name. I sold my soul to make a record, dipshit, and then you bought one." Yeah. It was basically like that. Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, yeah, I agree, Break.
I've never really listened to Tool, but thank you, Tool. I agree with you.
But look, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But like when you're used to hearing a band, right? For instance, Metallica was very guilty of selling out, right? Like they were already famous when they started doing what they.
And that's the point. These artists have basically, quote-unquote, already sold out, or you wouldn't be hearing them on the radio.
Right, right. No, you're
they,
right.
They are already working. They are already under a music producer.
Let's use the classic definition of sellout. We sell a lot of tickets.
Yeah, but you know what?
I understand, like, bands change. Like, they'll change their music styles. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to be really big into Linkin Park, for instance.
Yeah.
I can't listen to that anymore.
No, singing.
I love that album they did with Jay-Z. I thought that was fucking awesome. And then after that, it was like, what are you guys doing? No, I don't like this music. Sorry, I'm out.
That's right.
But they weren't selling out. They were all, you know, it's just they were doing a different thing.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying, but like when you go radically different from what the majority of your fan base was you know expecting you to do, like I understand artistic license.
A lot of people accuse a lot of their fans, or I shouldn't say a lot of their fans, but some of their fans accused the Grateful Dead of selling out for making that one song Touch of Grey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really like that song. So you know, one was, day years ago.
Anything that they set out to do. It's just like they made a song and it happened to catch on.
No. Look,
I heard Touch of Grey, and I'm like, man, I really love that song. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go check out the rest of their music. The rest of their music is completely different from that song.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, even if they
but people accused him of selling out for making this big hit song.
Look, here's a real sellout. Okay, here's the real sellouts. The record producers that come out with the Justin Biebers and One Direction and these fucking manufactured boy bands, all right? That's
Justin Bieber. If you hate, whether you hate him or not, he's actually very talented.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
He plays several different instruments.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Frank, hold on. Justin Bieber is very talented. He can sing. He can play multiple instruments.
Yep.
That's not why I don't like him. I don't like him because he's an ass who literally spat on his fans.
Yeah. Yes, and did shit like pee in a bucket at a restaurant. That's some guy who has to mop the fucking floors. Yeah, that guy is probably barely making over minimum wage. You're fucking peeing in his fucking bucket because you're mad about something, you rich little bitch.
I'm gonna completely ignore the fact that he's a creationist, but
you guys are sort of totally going
but
off.
But he's still talented. He's like, a talented musician, whether you like his music
or not. I understand
the argument. We are so off the rails, it's not even funny.
I know. What were we talking about again? Video games?
No, I totally agree with most of what you guys are saying, but that's Justin Bieber's a manufactured – he's talented, but he's a manufactured piece of shit. And that's
he manufactured himself, though. It became popular by making his YouTube videos.
Yeah, no, but the music studio.
He manufactured himself, basically.
No. He did manufacture himself. There was some rap star, wasn't like 50 Cent or something like that, who found him, or Dr. Dre, or like some big rap name who discovered him on YouTube and made him into a star.
No, that's actually incorrect.
You're thinking of Eminem, how Dr. Dre, how he discovered
Eminem. I could swear it was like some.
Sure, you aren't thinking of Rebecca Black.
Oh my God, we need to move on. We need to move on, guys.
Friday, fuck that bitch.
All right. PSA.
Okay, moving along.
Yes, moving along, please. Homie Discounts, we have a quick PSA. Misadventures of Tron Bon is out on PSN.
And it's $6, and that's significantly less than you pay for the physical version.
Yeah, I know, because apparently...
Unless you really want physical version.
Yeah, the story I saw was something about how basically it's one of the most expensive and the rarest games on eBay. And now suddenly you can pay $6 and you have it. And it's like, fuck you, eBay scalpers.
Yeah. Okay, real quickly, what have you been playing? I've been playing Marvel Puzzle Quest. I actually, you guys will be surprised to hear, I actually paid $20 for some microtransactions in that game because I felt that game warranted me paying $20.
So. Dude, I haven't spent that much in the best game I've ever made.
You should purge him.
Zombie 2.
No, I mean, this is one of the few times that you will ever catch me pay for microtransactions, but I thought the game was...
And usually you just pay for a happy ending.
exactly. Nice. But so that's what I've been playing, Marvel Puzzle Quest. It's a great game. I encourage everybody to check it out. Eric, what have you been playing quickly, please?
Let's see. I finished Pictures of Vangeal, and hopefully the review that's going up like by Sunday. I need to get with Rob on that. But you can and you can't finish stories. You can play to the point where you just don't want to play anymore, and that's when it ends. But the review of that should be going up as well on the same site, vognetwork.com. And played a little bit of Attack on Titan, Humanity in Chains.
Ooh, what's that for? Like, what?
3DS.
What kind of game is it?
It's an action game.
Hmm. Like God of War type action or something else?
Have you played Lost Planet 2?
Yeah,
it's kind of like that.
I played like 5 minutes of it, but so it's like a third-person shooter type game issue.
Well, you don't shoot; you cut.
Oh, okay.
All right. What else have you been playing, Eric?
I played a little bit of a Umihara Kawase, or Sayonara Umihara Kawase Plus, and all the way we, yeah, all the all yeah. Dang it. I don't know. I think the name of the title is The Way We All Go. That's how I was getting tongue tied.
All right.
And I was about to finish the final ending, and then I had to do the show. So I'll get back to that after I'm done. And I'm going to probably write the review for that for GameTactics.com. And also, you can check out my review of Xenoblade 3D or Xenoblade Chronicles 3D if you absolutely must have that stupid suffix in the name. Hmm. But that's up on Game Tactics.
All right. Anything else?
I think that's all I played.
All right, Break. You're up.
I have played two games. I've been really busy. I've played a lot of Final Fantasy, the Record Keepers, or Record Keeper, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It's fun. I like this game.
Yeah, it's fairly fun, man.
I haven't been burdened by having to purchase anything, or there's nothing in your face about it, such as like spending money, but...
That's a nice change.
Yeah, I know. That's really different from other games. I mean, it's a surprise. Yeah. But, yeah, it's basically skipping the random battle scene and just going straight to the battle. You don't have to do story plot or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious about what Moria would think about this game.
Yeah.
Is it completely free to play?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay, maybe I'll play it. I've got a decent tablet. Game.
All right, what else, Drake?
Well, Eric said he forgot something.
Yeah. I also played the PS4 and Xbox One versions of Shovel Knight, and I did the extra content that they made for that.
Cool.
For each.
How's the difference?
The armor that you get from the Toads is slightly different. I mean, they're both combat-based armors, but with the Toad one, you fight more like the Battletoads, and you can do running dashes, and if you do enough combo attacks on your enemies, you'll have a really big shovel show up, kind of like how they make big boots and stuff.
Yeah, the actual, I've watched video of both, and the actual boss fight for the Toads is much more involved than the boss fight with Kratos. I mean, both are good, but it just seems like a lot more effort went into the Battletoads one.
I love the Battletoads fights and Battletoads.
It was an actual level.
Yeah, I mean, like, you actually go through like a heavily abbreviated version.
Tunnel and then the turbo tunnel.
Yeah. All right, Break. What else are you playing?
The fun with Battletoads was always like the fights for me. The game got really hard when it made you go into like the scrolling
and
level.
And the nice thing is that if you die anywhere on the level, the game will demerit money from you, since technically there's no checkpoints to deposit money into.
Yeah. All right, Break. What else have you been playing?
The only game I've been playing is Injustice.
Ah.
Gods Among Us.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with that game.
That's a pretty fun fighter, right?
NetherRealm has actually blossomed as a really solid fighting game developer.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Mug.
I'm a big fan of the story that they make.
WB.
I know. It really does suck. It really What's does that? Suck that they're chained to WB, yeah. Like Warner Brothers Interactive Development or whatever the WBID stands for.
All right, Mug. Well, let's get
DC Universe is so fractured right now. Like it's nothing like the Marvel Universe, where it's basically like Disney owns everything but Spider-Man and the X-Men.
Yeah.
And I think like there's a few other ones. Like I think the Deadpool movie is not going to be under the Marvel Universe movies.
No, it's not. But
for the most part, like everything is under like Disney, and it's all kind of joined. Like there's the TV show and the movies all together. Whereas, like, the DC Universe is, like, they've got television shows that are connected, and then they've got other shows that aren't connected, and they've got movies that have nothing to do with one another.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right, Mug. Quickly,
all right.
Please.
I've been playing a few things. I played a little bit of Mortal Kombat X, largely because Jason was just released for Season Pass Holder, which I have. And if you're a fan of the Friday the 13th movies at all,
yes,
he is quite entertaining to play. If you have the game, I would recommend picking him up if you don't already have him, because like one of the nice things about like his he feels authentic. There's one version where he has a machete, and the other two versions where he has like a health restore, or one where he resurrects. And like it's little things that are very true to the films. And his fatalities are fun because they have little stings, like the horror movie, like Friday the 13th stings. Like he slashes through the torso of one of his enemies, like three really nasty slashes, like diagonally from the shoulder, or one where he does like this massive like droopy dog type slam down on the floor. And it's just, but it's punctuated by these little musical orchestral stings that really kind of sells it. And it's like it's good. It's obviously a lot of thought went into this content.
If you think about it, he makes most sense in the Mortal Kombat universe because, like, you know, the fatalities, people die. Like, it's Jason, you know, like, you can't kill him.
I mean, he's at least as well fitting as Freddy Krueger was in Mortal Kombat.
You can finish him and then he comes back, you know. It just makes perfect sense in the universe.
Moving on. I also decided to pick up Shovel Knight on PS4. Newsflash, I suck at Shovel Knight. I mean, it's fun. I like it, but I'm not good at it.
You'll never get the trophy where you beat a boss without getting damaged.
No, fuck that.
Or let alone the trophy you get for getting through the entire game without dying.
Like, that will never.
It's good that they never did try to make a trophy that you can get for beating the game without taking damage at all. That's like Mega Man 10. Holy crap!
Yeah, that kind of shit is crazy.
9 and 10.
Okay,
I love 9. Like, hey, 10 guys, it was like they just tried to capitalize on 9's popularity. They rushed.
10 was fun. It just wasn't as good.
I think the levels were better designed,
but the bosses. The levels weren't as well designed, but the bosses were more fun to fight.
I enjoyed Mega Man 10, all right. But anyway, moving on. I played a little bit, I haven't really gotten into it, of Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, which is like a 2.5D Assassin's Creed game, which actually works surprisingly well in 2.5D.
I just wish it was in 3D. Huh?
Yeah, I haven't played enough of it to really offer an opinion on it. I decided to go back and a while back when, you know, it may have been as far back as when they put out The Dark Knight Rises, but there was a sale on PSN for like all the art for all the Batman related stuff. And I picked up the Arkham Origins Ultimate Collection for like $6. So I decided to go and play Cold Cold Heart, which is the little story that takes place a week after the events of Arkham Origins, but deals specifically with Mr. Freeze. I beat it in a night. But I had fun with it. It was enjoyable. So I would recommend that if you're interested. Yeah. I mean, Origins, I thought, like, basically I described it on Twitter as a thoroughly average sequel to a great game.
Yeah, I give it like a 6, I think.
Origins is the one that doesn't have like Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy.
No,
right?
It does not. Although I will say that Troy Baker did a fantastic job, and arguably,
Troy Baker's a really good voice actor.
Yeah, I mean, arguably he did a more nuanced job with the Joker than Mark Hamill ever did.
I'm pretty sure he does Joker in Infamous too.
No, you're probably right. I'm pretty certain that Mark
Don't
Hamill
you mean said, Injustice.
Yeah, Injustice.
What did I say? Injustice.
Infamous. You said.
Did I say Infamous? Yeah. I'm in Injustice.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I got what you meant. I missed.
Troy Baker did do a voice of Delson in Infamous. Second Son, though.
Yeah.
Oops, my bad.
But regardless, I mean, like, you know, he did a really good job with the Joker. It's like he made a very nuanced performance of the Joker, like patterned off of Mark Hamill's performance. But I kind of think adding a new dimension of it that we hadn't heard before. Moving on from that.
I still say Mark Hamill's the best Joker that's ever been.
Yeah. But moving on from that, I decided to go back and start playing Alan Wake on the Xbox 360. Still one of my favorite games of the previous generation. If you haven't played it, you should. You can get it. You can pick it up for cheap on either Xbox Live or on Steam. Really, really, really worth your money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. I was just kind of watching the fatalities of Jason on
Did you hear it with the music up?
No.
Because honestly, the sound is one of the reasons that it works.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, they're kind of like, okay, that's, you know, that's kind of cute. Yeah. But if the sound is really what sells it for his fatalities.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Stinkos, mine real quick. I have a basement leak. We've been having unusually rainy weather, and I got a small leak in my basement. It's not flooding or anything, but it's fucking annoying, and I know it's going to cost a shitload. And, of course, the insurance is not going to cover it. So. All right, Mug, let's go with your
All right, stinko. I will go with what I think is a pretty major stinko.
Yeah.
Hobby Lobby on steroids. This is from The Raw Story. House votes to overturn D.C. law so employers can fire women for using birth control. I'm not going to read the whole story, but the long and short of it is, okay, I'll go for the first paragraph or two. Late Thursday night, the House of Representatives voted in favor of House of H.J. Res 43, disapproving the action of the District of Columbia Council and approving the Reproductive Health Non-Discrimination Amendment Act of 2014. If enacted, the legislation would make employer-based health insurance for in vitro fertilization or birth control pills a fireable offense in Washington, D.C.
Way to go, Washington, D.C.
I mean, it fucking boggles my goddamn mind how D.C. can legalize medical – or actually, is it just medical or recreational marijuana?
Just medical. It's not recreational.
Okay, but either way –
get high and have irresponsible sex, and now you can't get abortion.
Oh, God. It's just it kind of keeps coming back to that. I mean, because I know a couple weeks ago I ranted at length about my stepdaughter's sexual education class.
Yeah.
And it's gotten worse.
So like we want kids to not be able to abort, but we're not going to teach them anything at all to prevent pregnancies.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's gotten worse than that. It's gotten to the point where I'm considering contacting Americans United and the ACLU.
Wow.
I mean, like, it's that fucking bad where they talk about some of the things that you can do to avoid such problems as, quote unquote, practicing a religion. Like, you are really skirting up against the edge of the fucking First Amendment there.
Mm. Well, lawmakers do
it all the time. I will shut up now, because if I don't, I will dominate the entire rest of the podcast. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, let's go on. Eric, your stinko of the week.
Oh, yeah, but first, there was one more game I did play that I forgot about because it was a week ago and we didn't do a show.
Quickly.
But E6 Narcopticum. Napishtim. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Your stinko,
this is
Eric.
One East game with which I've had no involvement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Eric. Your stinko.
Stinko is – this is from Patheos.com. Texas approves textbook of Moses as founding father.
Oh, God.
I saw that, and I just wanted to punch somebody.
This is Christian conservatives win children's lose. Texas textbooks will teach public school students that the Founding Fathers, based on the Constitution, on the Bible, and the American system of democracy, was inspired by Moses.
Oh, my God.
On Friday, the Republican-controlled Texas State Board of Education voted along the party lines 10 to 5 to approve the biased and inaccurate textbooks. The vote signals a victory for Christian conservatives and Texas and a disappointing defeat for historical accuracy and education of innocent children. And you might be thinking, why is this a big deal? I don't live in Texas. Because Texas is the largest book-producing state in the world in the states. And a lot of books get shipped from there.
Yeah.
And bought from other schools.
Yeah.
To sum it up, as Texas goes, most of the rest of the country follows.
Yeah.
I mean, in essence, we're basically saying that some guy who never actually existed – I mean, let's not mince words here. Moses is fucking fiction. This is fucking Mother Goose we're talking about. But Moses is being listed as a founding father, as a real person on par with George Washington, Thomas Paine, James Madison. Fuck you.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man. Like Mug said.
I mean, can Texas just secede from the Union and then Austin split off from Texas and be the new 50th state or whatever state it is?
Man. I really wish. Sometimes, you know, like here in Colorado, we had a couple of counties that wanted to secede from the United States. I honestly wish Texas would become its own country.
They establish right after the end of the Civil War, secession is illegal.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you can
think about it. You can make it illegal, but it's like making suicide illegal.
Mm. Well, that's not
like you're going to jail if you kill yourself. Well, you're fucking dead. What can you do?
That's the thing, though. I mean, like, the thing is, suicide is a very decisive action that an individual can decide to do.
Right, just like seceding from the nation. I'm just saying, like, they can just say, well, yeah, it's against the law, but we can still – well, that's fine. We're doing it.
Well, actually, it's not the same thing at all, though, man. Listen, the thing is, seceding as a nation is something that a state can decide to do, and the federal government can say, sorry, no, you can't do that. The thing is, like, killing yourself, you put a shotgun in your mouth and pull the trigger, nothing can take that back.
Right.
You know, you decide, you're right.
It's a bad comparison. I'm
sorry. Hey, Eric.
Like you decide by decree that we're no longer part of the union. It's like, sorry, yes, you are.
Yeah, I know, but I really
but
wish.
But then it goes to war at that point, was what I was saying. Like, you can say no, but they're going to fight it.
I actually wish.
Which is why I'm saying maybe they should just turn a blind eye this one time.
But, yeah, I agree.
But let me say, like, I should not have compared it to suicide. That was stupid.
No, come on.
That was stupid.
That'd be kind of hard considering that the majority of the U.S. Congress seems to be completely anti-science.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, this one time I would make the exception. If I was the United States... the president, I would make the exception one time for Texas. And then good luck with trading with
– to allow Texas to
let me finish. Good luck trying to trade with Mexico there, Texas, you know.
Well, the problem there is, though, Texas holds a lot of our oil – our domestic oil interests.
Not anymore. Colorado has tons of oil, Kansas,
and soon
Oklahoma.
We might be getting a new energy source for fuel anyway.
Speaking of, did you guys hear about the solar battery that Tesla just came out with?
Mm-mm.
I'm like, "Oh yeah, come tax time next year, my wife and I are so on top of that."
That'd be cool. All right, let's move on. Break your stinko.
I've got two. I only had one, but something happened during the show.
Your air conditioner.
Yes. The first one was my air conditioner. I don't know how many people heard it, but my air conditioner started making a really like loud whining noise. So I think maybe the fan went dead on it or something, and we had to turn it off, and now it's an oven in this house. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yep.
And the other one goes to squirrels. The menace to society. The worst – fucking animal on the goddamn planet.
Yeah, they're pretty close. Yeah,
they're the evil little monsters.
Yes,
that invade homes and invade yards.
Wait! What animal are we talking about here?
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Oh, squirrels. I like squirrels.
Squirrels.
What?
Fuck.
What? I like.
What is wrong with you?
Why I like running them over.
Oh, yes. Dude, that's awful.
I hate
squirrels. No, run squirrels over. They're evil little monsters.
Yes.
Okay, so last week there wasn't a show. You want to know why? Because during the show, at some point, squirrels got into my walls.
No, the show didn't even get a chance to start. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, the show didn't get a chance to start because right when it was about to start, like I had to go take care of a problem.
The Leisure Suit was so fucking long, we could have done it earlier.
Well, let me finish.
But then
here.
The show would have gotten interrupted.
Let me finish here. So the squirrels, they get into my walls. So last week I went in and was talking to my neighbor who got me a trap. I went and set up the trap when I was supposed to be doing the show, but I'm sorry, guys. So this was happening. So I was trying to get squirrels out of my walls, and I tried peanuts. They got the peanuts, set off the trap, but they got away. The next day, I tried it with some like peanut butter and stuff. No, that didn't work either. They set the trap off, got all the fucking peanuts and some peanut butter. I tried some fucking like oranges and shit. No, that didn't work either. They're getting everything, setting off the trap, and walking away scot-free.
They're smarter than you.
I've tried like glue traps and shit. Little bastards drug them out of the fucking cage.
Maybe we need
got
to get
away from the fucking trap. I'm like, I don't know what to fucking do.
We need to make a squirrel simulator game where you're exterminator for squirrels.
Get him.
So I was talking to my landlord before the show started. So hopefully this won't be a problem next week. Maybe. Hopefully we get an exterminator or something. I can get him out. Maybe we'll fucking call the Turtle Man or some shit. I don't fucking know what to do.
Get a BB gun, man. That'll work.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting
a Turtle Man.
Who's like, the Turtle Man? What? Oh, you don't watch Animal Planet?
I can't stand prairie dogs. I can't stand squirrels. And I can't stand fucking pigeons, man.
Squirrels are the worst. They're an invasive little animal.
They're not invasive. They're a native species.
No, they're very
I'm
invasive.
Sorry. They are invading my home. That's invasive.
Let me put it this way. They were here before you were.
Oh, knock that shit off, man.
These two particular squirrels that are mating and probably having babies in my walls – were not on this fucking planet before I was.
No, you know, yes,
and they were not in this fucking house before I was.
Yes,
they were not in this. They were not in this. This is my home, and they are invaders.
Right. I agree with you
100%. You are encroaching on their land, motherfucker.
Oh, man. Fuck squirrels, man.
No. Fire ants, those are invasive species, fuck them.
We weren't – look, the Founding Fathers weren't saying this shit when we were taking over.
I don't give a shit what the Founding Fathers said.
Look. No, if we want to really get to brass tacks, man, like it, you know,
we have no right to be here at all.
Right. Dungeonbuster says this is actually, this might be true. I think I've heard this. I'd have to verify it, but try cotton balls with peppermint oil and leave them in the walls. Animals and
The only thing I could find is like spray that's like an inhibitor. It's kind of a, like, hey, don't come over here spray, but it's not anything that, like, can kill them or harm them, and that doesn't work either.
Try the peppermint oil, man. It might work. Yeah.
I mean, most animals with anything remotely akin to a good sense of smell, by which I mean significantly better than humans have, that, you know, any kind of mint, they tend to hate.
Yeah,
like,
see,
especially if it's an actual mint oil.
I'm pretty skeptical.
Highly concentrated.
I'm pretty skeptical when it comes to that shit. But I've heard good things about peppermint oil and
like,
you know those
menthol inhalers that like Halls and stuff make.
Yeah.
Like I have those. Like I have one cat who's very sweet and I love her very much, but she can also be incredibly obnoxious. But when she starts like coming into the game room and starts screwing with me, then I'll take this inhaler and basically do what I used to do when I was big into rolling ecstasy. And you put it like the back end of it in your mouth and then you blow. And then you blow this menthol vapor back on her. And she's like, oh God, why would you do that? And she runs away.
Yeah. Nail polish remover.
Let me say, like, I have a dog and I have cats, and they haven't been able to fucking take care of these squirrels either.
Dungeon Buster says you can get peppermint oil.
And let me thank you, Dungeon Buster. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, try that, man. That's great advice, Dungeon Buster. Even if it doesn't work, it's worth a shot.
Nothing else has worked. They've evaded the trap. I mean,
hey, I've
cut down a like branches off a tree, so there's. I thought there'd be no way they can get up there, but no, they're still finding ways.
Yeah,
squirrels are smarter. Okay, what we've learned from
that's the problem. Squirrels are smart, and that's why they are such a
the real point of this is that squirrels are smarter than Breakman.
Yeah, all right, Break.
That's
your squirrel smarter than a Breakman.
Break. I kind of
yeah.
I kind of skipped over Twitter questions. Did we have any Twitter questions?
Actually, we did have Twitter questions, right, but are you done with Stinkos?
Yeah, we're done.
I think we're done.
Did you say yours?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't. Oh, okay. I did mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't remember Frank's. What was yours, Frank?
My basement, the leak.
Oh, right. Okay, I remember now. Okay. I'm ready with the Twitter questions.
Yep.
There are two of them. And this excites me because one of them is completely new.
Oh.
From at Johnny Wufei, JohnnyWufei.
Yep, Wyland.
Thank you. We appreciate that. It's the first time we're getting something from somebody else in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
At RP Grinders, would you rather be angrily fisted by the Hulk or have four repeatedly jam Mjolnir up your bum?
Wait, what was that? Repeatedly
Hulk
jam what?
You. No.
Hang on.
Be angrily fisted by the Hulk or have four repeatedly jam Mjolnir up your bum?
Wyland.
Is pleasant, but I'd probably die if the Hulk did something.
You'd probably die.
See, that
one.
Was my thought. Like, after watching Avengers 2, I'm convinced that I might be able to survive 4, but no way in hell I'd survive the fall.
I'm going to go with Mjolnir because Chris Hemsworth is a lot cuter than Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, my God.
I'm going with Mjolnir because I think there might be a slight chance in hell that I might survive, whereas with the Hulk, I know there's no way in hell I would survive.
Speaking of my plans for the evening after the podcast.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
How are you making that happen?
You're going to get fisted.
I'm not ruling it out. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's move on.
And the other one, there's another Twitter comment, and that's Freak5Chaos. There was a farmer who had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. Is Bingo the name of the farmer or the dog?
Bingo was the name of the dog.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bingo was the name of the dog. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the farmer just because.
Freak5 says, don't you miss my would you rathers now?
No,
we don't. I prefer this.
Absolutely fucking not. We do not miss
it. Yeah. All right.
Let's try. No, we don't.
Let's do our sweetos real quick, and then that's going to wrap up the show because we're getting.
Wait, I want to talk about the Avengers.
It's only 8:30, man.
I got a review to do. Two reviews.
Oh, my God.
And don't you want to talk about the Avengers? Because I know we all saw it.
I know. I
saw it. The first movie I've seen in theaters in like well over a year.
Okay.
We need to talk about it, Jet.
Look, yes. We'll talk about
Hurry
it.
Up.
Only,
let's get to
listen,
it.
Listen, only if we can get through our sweetos really quick. Right?
I don't have any.
Mine is Ultron, all right?
And mine okay. too. Let's move on.
Frank's right. going to hate me.
Okay, mine is I will go through quickly, but it's much more like socially significant.
All right.
Rubella. The German measles, and I believe it's also known as the whooping cough, has been eliminated thanks to vaccination from the entirety of North and South and Central America.
I'm sure it'll be on its way back with all these anti-vaxxers, though.
But the thing is, it's like this is a milestone.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a big win in the column for science-minded medicine.
Yeah. Well, Jenny McCarthy will be the first to say that her son caught rubella from.
let's not bring her into this show. This show is going well, and then you had to bring that up.
All right, let's move on to Ultron. Eric, we're all gonna do a review of Ultron, Age of Ultron, real quickly.
Spoilers! If you haven't seen Age of Ultron,
right,
you should probably turn the show off. And,
spoilers!
And,
spoilers!
Yeah, because we're going into spoilers here.
I'm not gonna spoil anything.
Too bad you're going to.
I'm going to try not to.
I'm not.
Look, here's my review of Ultron, okay? Probably as good as the first, but not better. I liked it quite a bit. It was a pretty good summer fun movie. It's a great comic book movie. There's no doubt about it. There were a few things I didn't like about it, but overall I thought it was pretty great, and I don't use this word very often, but it's almost as epic as you can get for a movie. You know what I mean? Like it had an epic scale for sure. I really liked the set pieces. I thought
there was a review I read for it that said it's like it's really really good, but it feels like there are bits of it missing, like some like what they described as connective tissue that had been cut out, and it's like. Yeah, I can really see that, and it's like that's why apparently the Blu-ray edition of the film is going to have more stuff that was not like basically be a director's cut. It's going to have more stuff that was not in the theatrical release.
I really
enjoyed the theatrical release. It was very good. I didn't like it as much as I did the original Avengers.
Yeah,
but as you know, as a follow-up to the second wave. As the almost culmination of the second wave of or phase two of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it was extremely enjoyable. I don't really get. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw there was a big backlash against Joss Whedon
for
the whole thing about Black Widow,
and supposedly how it was misogynistic her portrayal.
Well, the thing is,
to ultra feminist everything. Is, you know, against them.
Well, okay. I get that. It's like people didn't like that. There was a decent argument made regarding, like, the whole thing. And, like, if you remember in the original Avengers, they talked about, like, with the Black Widow, there's red in her ledger. There's something that she feels she has to atone for.
Yeah.
And then in the second Avengers, it's revealed that her big thing that she's like wounded by was the fact that she was sterilized. And it's like, okay, I kind of get that, but the what I took from it personally, and this is me as a bisexual,
I thought it more had to do with becoming a killer by using her feminine wiles and the fact that they trained all these characters in secret.
I think there's a bigger point to that scene that a lot of people have missed too, but I don't want to sidetrack your point. So
let me say that as a bisexual male, I'm not a female by any stretch of the imagination. I don't consider myself one. I am as cisgendered as they come. But what I saw of that is that, you know, I think it was maybe Kotaku's review talking about the use of, you know, like finding symbols like Iron Man's armor, Thor's hammer, and stuff like that, and it's like, or Cap's shield, and you know, a lot of it revolves around finding ways to take these symbols away from the characters. And I thought that was, and it's like, I agree with that. That was a major theme throughout the film. You have Black Widow, who almost uses the Cap's shield more than Cap himself does. Yeah. And but the thing was like, when you saw the flashbacks to Black Widow's story, you had, you know, I was like, okay, she was harmed. She was obviously damaged by this. But she, you know,
the choice was taken away from her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But the thing was, my thought on that was like, yes, she's hurt. She's human. She had something horrible done to her, but she overcame that, and she's still a fucking badass.
Yeah.
I mean, and if I may speak on a personal point. My wife was the victim multiple times of sexual abuse. Yeah. She is still an amazing woman whom I love very much. And the thing is, she moved beyond that. And she had, I mean, it's like, and while that will always be a part of who she is, it doesn't define who she is.
Yeah.
And no. That's kind of my outlook on Black Widow.
Yeah. No, there's no question. Her character is really cool. I like Black Widow. I
don't know why they had such a big problem with Joss Whedon. I mean, that's her backstory, period.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
why were they complaining years ago in the comic books?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know the comics from which...
Who the fuck are these idiots who have delusions of grandeur and, about...
See, that's what the only thing I hate is the comic freaks. I used to be a comic freak, and I hated what they did with certain characters, like Punisher and stuff like that. But even I... Like, knowing the histories of some of these characters, like, you have to concede certain things for cinema. And
every character's had, like, at some point in their history, something fucked up, like, authors or different writers tried something different.
Well, I mean,
and there's just like, God, why is that part of the fiction?
Look, I mean, if you really want to get bitchy about someone associated with the Avengers in real life that is not actually part of the fiction... Bishop Jeremy Renner, who's sitting here complaining about, you know, or rather talking about how Black Widow is a slut. I'm like,
I think
just an asshole.
They were Renner and Chris Evans were both guilty of that, but they were just goofing.
They were trying to joke. Hang on.
That's the thing. Sure. Jeremy Renner was not just goofing. I mean, like in a subsequent appearance, he doubled down on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was still just being like, if I were to do that, I'd be a slut. I'm like, no, you wouldn't. You'd be a human being with sexual tendencies.
Yeah, I didn't get that from Renner, man.
No, like I don't know if you saw his second appearance where he talked about that, and it's like, and he literally said, and he's like, basically the general gist of it was that I don't get why anyone was so upset about it. She was a slut.
Yeah. No, I know, but he later apologized for his comments, and I'm one firmly to believe that if somebody's sincere about shit, they'll.
Didn't get the impression that he was sincere. Nah. To be perfectly honest about it, I thought he was kind of being like, "I'll apologize because I think, I think it's something I should do to save my image."
Yeah.
But well, I think I was in the right.
I'm not a huge Renner fan,
so I can't say anything.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Renner fan at all, to be honest with you.
I don't have any particular attachment to him, so I don't you're kind of being a dick here, whether you realize it or not.
Right.
What I thought about the movie.
Yeah, real quickly, Dungeon Buster says Ultron was a fun movie, but it's not his favorite Marvel. I agree, Dungeon Buster. Go ahead, Eric. quickly.
I thought that the movie just felt like a gigantic tease, and it wasn't as good as it could have been because of that, and the supposedly cut content.
That's a fair.
The movie was already running long. I felt like there might have been too many scenes where not a lot of important stuff happened, and those scenes could have been replaced with more important scenes that were in the movie.
The theatrical cut of the movie is actually 1 minute shorter than the original Avengers.
Yeah. Denja Buncher says he'd still take Winter Soldier.
I just like the fact that they gave Hawkeye a backstory.
I will say that
I was really impressed by how they handled Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch. They did.
I'm kind of upset with what they did with Quicksilver.
No, really? I am too, in a way, because
by legal agreement, they cannot acknowledge their relation to Magneto.
That's not entirely true. Actually.
Yes, it is. They don't have
also, no. But this also brings a problem because there was a Quicksilver in First Class 2.
Who's that Quicksilver?
Look, yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like
they're not linked.
Oh my god!
Well, not in First Class, but in Days of Future Past, they made it very explicit that it's like. Well, no, I won't say explicit, but they implied extremely heavily that it's like this is Magneto's son.
Yeah.
And by legal agreement, they could make no allusion to that in the Marvel Comics universe,
an annoying teenager instead of like an annoying European like he is.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought they did a good job with it. I especially liked, even though her character, what was interesting is that her character was not extremely well fleshed out, I would say. No. But
probably for the next film, maybe.
But the Scarlet Witch, I thought that she was strange. She was very compelling in spite of this.
Yeah.
Yes, Elizabeth Olsen is the best Olsen.
The problem with...
She is definitely the best Olsen.
Oh, my God. The problem with a movie of this massive of a scale is you can't do everybody's backstory, and I wouldn't want it that way. You know, you just can't.
I would
do
like
that.
To interject that I thought James Spader as Ultron he knocked it out of the fucking park.
Spader's awesome. Like he was.
I think my only problem with the movie lies mostly in the fact that it was kind of a repeat of the first movie, where they're instead of the Chitauri though, it's a bunch of robots, but it's less interesting because at least the Chitauri were alive.
I don't agree with that, I think that the focus of Age of Ultron was much more intimate than the first film. Mm. It's like it's much more about the individual characters and their individual, if not necessarily their feelings, but their interpretations of what's happening to them. Mm. And I mean, I thought that it was a pretty fantastic setup for. And what's funny is that I had forgotten who played Jarvis.
Yeah.
Paul Bettany. And I'm looking at the Vision, and I'm thinking, he looks like Paul Bettany. It's like through the entire film. Yeah.
But look, let's cut this short, guys, because I got to go. It's raining.
I'll do my review of Kill Kill next week. Fuck that.
Yeah. Dude, my basement is flooding, man. I can't stay in the air for much
longer.
Yeah,
dude. That sucks.
But anyways, I thought it was a good movie. It was the problem is
it was good, but not as good as the first one.
I give it a 7.5.
Well, the thing
but
is,
I think it sets up really nicely for what's to come.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting. I'm really looking forward to Ant-Man, and I'm actually especially looking forward to the Blu-ray release with the director's cut, with all the stuff that Joss Whedon says got cut out.
The only
Ant-Man's already confirmed for Civil War, by the way.
The problem, the problem that Ultron ran up against is that we've had so many great. Marvel movies like Winter Soldier and Iron Man and the first Avengers that we...
Iron Man 3 sucked.
Iron Man 3 was good. Iron Man 2 was kind of boring. Yeah, but the thing that kind of bothered me with this movie was there wasn't... Like, after the destruction of New York, you know, there was no, like... and not just that, but the fact that Tony Stark made Ultron, Yeah. You know, shouldn't there have been, like, some, like, punishment for Tony at the end?
No, what? I agree with that, but the only
instead
well,
him
well, that's
just, like,
another thing I had in the movie. The movie felt a little too forced at times because of that.
Look, the only...
It seemed like there was more story that should have been told there. Like, there should definitely be a lot of angry people after the Hulk, you know, getting into New York, and he probably killed people. Yeah. At some point, because he was grabbing people out of vehicles and just tossing them, you know.
The only real problem I had was what you mentioned, Brake, was that Stark didn't create Ultron. It actually was Pym, Ant-Man. Pym.
Ant-Man created Ultron. Ant-Man.
Yes, in the original
comics.
The original, yes. But we're talking about in the movie.
Real quickly, Dunderbush says Ant-Man trailer looked great. Fantastic Four one, not so sure. I thought it sucked. It looks
They're shitty. Doing Doom again. You
okay? Well, sorry,
they've announced a cast for Captain America: Civil War. And basically, everyone who was in the Avengers except for the Hulk is in this.
Oh, that sucks, man. The Hulk's badass, but anyway.
Well,
and no
plan. Who plays the Hulk? But well, Hulk may be in it because General Ross is in it.
Yeah. Plot wise.
Okay.
The Hulk not being around makes sense. I mean, that was one of the things that I thought that worked really well. Was like they did a very good job of making way for this new crew, like the second team of the Avengers.
Mug. Yes. I got to cut you off. We got to end the show. We'll continue the discussion before we get into the news next week with more Ultron, because that's
hopefully
obviously,
I'll actually time to do reviews.
Yeah, no, we're going
it,
to
it
do
was
that.
An awesome movie and I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I plan on seeing like two movies this week.
I wasn't either, but we'll continue the discussion next week on Ultron for sure, right at the beginning. All right, we'll make time to do that review, because I don't think we did it justice. I have a lot more to say about it, but anyways, we got to run plugs real quick. Mug, please.
You can find me at Moria Mug, MoriaMug. Find me.
No. Eric, plugs, please.
Did you just say no?
No, I said yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
You can find me at GameTactics.com, VogNetwork.com, TotallyGN.com, and HonestGamers.com, and BossBastardBrigade.com.
All right.
The reviews are up there, and then I still haven't updated the Apostate Gamer webpage since I did the introduction, but maybe in the future there'll be something.
All right.
I want to do it on About so like people can learn terminologies and stuff that I'm going to be using.
But, okay. Anything
else?
And
there's also my Twitter at EricRPG and my YouTube Funny T Man.
Okay.
I actually have like I don't know probably about 15 cents now.
Sweet. All right, Break.
Me, please. You're thinking Break Man.
Yeah, Break. Go for it.
At Break _ Man, at RP Grinders, and at Stealth __.
All right.
That's it. And if you haven't seen Age of Ultron and you listen to our show, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. Real quickly, just go to wickedradionetwork.com. Bunch of new shows on the network, fun stuff. And go see Age of Ultron. We'll give you one more chance to see it. All right, that's about
otherwise,
it.
Otherwise, you're exiled.
Yeah.
Exiled.
Anyways, guys, see you next week. Have fun this weekend. Stay safe. We want to see you back. We'll see you next week. Late.